This is Sonic Boom Radio. I am Dr. Boom. Today we focus on spoken word material. We'll hear from Ken Nordine and Michael O'Keefe. But first, the classic Allen Ginsberg and Howell.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix, angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo in the machinery of night, who poverty and tatters and hollow-eyed and high sat up smoking in the supernatural darkness of cold water flats floating across the tops of cities contemplating jazz, who bared their brains to heaven under the L and saw Mohammedan angels staggering on tenement roofs illuminated, who passed through universities with radiant cool eyes, hallucinating Arkansas and Blake Light tragedy among the scholars of money and war, who were expelled from the academies for crazy and publishing obscene odes on the windows of the skull, who cowered in unshaven rooms in underwear, burning their money in waste baskets and listening to the terror through the wall, who got busted in their pubic beards returning to Laredo with a belt of marijuana for New York, who ate fire and paint hotels or drank turpentine in Paradise Alley death, or purgatoried their torsos night after night with dreams, with drugs, with waking nightmares, alcohol and cock and endless balls, incomparable blind streets of shuddering cloud and lightning in the mind, leaping toward poles of Canada and Patterson, illuminating all the motionless world of time between, peyote solidities of halls, backyard green trees, cemetery dawns, wine drunkenness over the rooftops, storefront burrows of T-head, joyride neon blinking traffic light, sun and moon and tree vibrations in the roaring winter dusks of Brooklyn, ashcan rantings and kind king light of mind, who chained themselves to subways for the endless ride from Battery to Holy Bronx on Benzedrine until the noise of wheels and children brought them down, shuddering mouth racked and battered, reek of brain all drained of brilliance in the drear light of zoo, who sank all night in submarine light of Bickford's, floated out and sat for the stale beer afternoon in desolate Fugazi's, listening to the crack of doom on the hydrogen jukebox, who talked continuously 70 hours from park to pad to bar to Bellevue to the Brooklyn Bridge, a lost battalion of platonic conversationalists, jumping down the stoops, off fire escapes, off windowsills, off Empire State, out of the moon, yakety-yacking, screaming, vomiting, whispering facts and memories and anecdotes and eyeball kicks and shocks of hospitals and jails and wars, whole intellects disgorged in total recall for 7 days and nights with brilliant eyes, meat for the synagogue, cast on the pavement, who vanished into nowhere Zen New Jersey, leaving a trail of ambiguous picture postcards of Atlantic City Hall, suffering Eastern sweats and Tangerian bone grindings and migraines of China under junk withdrawal in Newark's bleak furnished room, who wandered around and around at midnight in the railroad yard wondering where to go and went, leaving no broken hearts, who lit cigarettes in boxcars, 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 racketing through snow toward lonesome farms in Grandfather Night, who studied Plotinus, Poe, St. John of the Cross, telepathy, and Bob Kabbalah because the cosmos instinctively vibrated at their feet in Kansas, who loaned it through the streets of Idaho, seeking visionary Indian angels who were visionary Indian angels, who thought they were only mad when Baltimore gleamed in supernatural ecstasy, who jumped in limousines with a Chinaman of Oklahoma on the impulse of winter, midnight, streetlight, small town rain, who lounged hungry and lonesome through Houston seeking jazz or sex or soup and followed the brilliant Spaniard to converse about America and eternity, a hopeless task, and so took ship to Africa, who disappeared into the volcanoes of Mexico, leaving behind nothing but the shadow of dungarees and the lava and ash of poetry never got written, scattered in fireplace Chicago, who reappeared on the West Coast investigating the FBI in beards and shorts with big pacifist eyes sexy in their dark skin, passing out incomprehensible leaflets, who burned cigarette holes in their arms protesting the narcotic tobacco haze of capitalism, who distributed communist pamphlets in Union Square weeping and undressing while the sirens of Los Alamos wailed them down and wailed down Wall and the Staten Island ferry also wailed, who broke down crying in white gymnasiums naked and trembling before the machinery of other skeletons, who bit detectives in the neck and shrieked with delight in police cars for committing no crime but their own wild cooking, pederasty, and intoxication, who howled on their knees in the subway and were dragged off the roof waving genitals and manuscripts, who let themselves be fucked in the ass by saintly motorcyclists and screamed with joy, who blew and were blown by those human seraphim, the sailors, caresses of Atlantic and Caribbean love, who bawled in the morning and the evenings in rose gardens and the grass of public parks and cemeteries, scattering their semen freely to whomever, come who may, who hiccup endlessly trying to giggle but wound up with a sob behind a partition in a Turkish bath when the blonde and naked angel came to pierce them with a sword, who lost their love boys to the three old shrews of fate, the one-eyed shrew of the heterosexual dollar, the one-eyed shrew that winks out of the womb, and the one-eyed shrew that does nothing but sit on her ass and snip the intellectual golden threads of the craftsman's loom, who copulated ecstatic and insatiate with a bottle of beer, a sweetheart, a package of cigarettes, a candle, and fell off the bed and continued along the floor and down the hall and ended fainting on the wall with a vision of ultimate cunt and cum eluding the last jism of consciousness, who sweetened the snatches of a million girls trembling in the sunset and were red-eyed in the morning but prepared to sweeten the snatch of the sunrise, flashing buttocks under barns and naked in the lake, who went out whoring through Colorado in myriad stolen night cars, NC, secret hero of these poems, Coxman and Adonis of Denver, joy to the memory of his innumerable lays of girls in empty lots and diner backyards, movie houses, rickety rows, on mountaintops in caves, or with gaunt waitresses and familiar roadside lonely petticoat upliftings, and especially secret gas station solipsisms of John's and hometown alleys too, who faded out in vast sordid movies, were shifted in dreams, woke on a sudden Manhattan, picked themselves up out of basements, hung over with heartless toquet and horrors of Third Avenue iron dreams and stumbled to unemployment offices, who walked all night with their shoes full of blood on the snowbank docks, waiting for a door in the East River to open to a room full of steam heat and opium, who created great suicidal dramas on the apartment cliff banks of the Hudson under the wartime blue floodlight of the moon, and their heads shall be crowned with laurel in oblivion, who ate the lamb stew of the imagination or digested the crab at the muddy bottom of the rivers of Bowery, who wept at the romance of the streets with their pushcarts full of onions and bad music, who sat in boxes breathing in the darkness under the bridge and rose up to build harpsichords in their lofts, who coughed on the sixth floor of Harlem crowned with flame under the tubercular sky surrounded by orange crates of theology, who scribbled all night rocking and rolling over lofty incantations which in the yellow morning were stanzas of gibberish, who cooked rotten animals, lung, heart, feet, tail, borscht and tortillas dreaming of the pure vegetable kingdom, who plunged themselves under meat trucks looking for an egg, who threw their watches off the roof to cast their ballot for eternity outside of time and alarm clocks fell on their heads every day for the next decade, who cut their wrists three times unsuccessfully, gave up and were forced to open antique stores where they thought they were growing old and cried, who were burned alive in their innocent flannel suits on Madison Avenue amid blasts of leaden verse and the tanked up clatter of the iron regiments of fashion and the nitroglycerin shrieks of the fairies of advertising and the mustard gas of sinister intelligent editors, or were run down by the drunken taxicabs of absolute reality, who jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge and walked away unknown and forgotten into the ghostly days of Chinatown soup, alleyways, and fire trucks, not even one free beer, who sang out of their windows in despair, fell out of the subway, jumped in the filthy Passaic, leaped on Negroes, cried all over the street, danced on broken wine glasses barefoot, smashed phonograph records of nostalgic 1930s European German jazz, finished the whiskey and threw up, groaning into the bloody toilet, moans in their ears and the blast of colossal steam whistles, who barreled down the highways of the past, journeying to each other's hot rod, Golgotha, jail, solitude, watch, or Birmingham blues incarnation, who drove cross-country 72 hours to find out if I had a vision, or you had a vision, or he had a vision, to find out eternity, who journeyed to Denver, who died in Denver, who came back to Denver and waited in vain, who watched over Denver and brooded and loaned in Denver and finally went away to find out the time, and now Denver is lonesome for her heroes, who fell on their knees in hopeless cathedrals, praying for each other's salvation and light and breasts until the soul illuminated its hair for a second, who crashed through their minds in jail, waiting for impossible criminals with golden heads and the charm of reality in their hearts, who sang sweet blues to Alcatraz, who retired to Mexico to cultivate a habit, or Rocky Mount to tender Buddha, or Tangiers to boys, or Southern Pacific to the black locomotive, or Harvard to Narcissus to Woodlawn or Grave, who demanded sanity trials, accusing the radio of hypnotism, and were left with their insanity and their hands and the hung jury, who threw potato salad at CCNY lecturers on Dadaism, and subsequently presented themselves on the granite steps of the madhouse with shaven heads and harlequin speech of suicide demanding instantaneous lobotomy, and who were given instead the concrete void of insulin, metrosol, electricity, hydrotherapy, psychotherapy, occupational therapy, ping-pong, and amnesia, who in humorless protest overturned only one symbolic ping-pong table, resting briefly in catatonia, returning years later truly bald except for a wig of blood, tears, and fingers to the visible madman doom of the wards of the mad towns of the East, pilgrim states, rocklands, and graystones, fetid halls, bickering with echoes of the soul, rocking and rolling in the midnight, solitude bench, dolmen realms of love, dream of night, dream of life, a nightmare, bodies turned to stone as heavy as the moon, with mother finally and the last fantastic book flung out of the tenement window, and the last door closed at 4 a.m., and the last telephone slammed at the wall in reply, and the last furnished room emptied down to the last piece of mental furniture, a yellow paper rose twisted on a wire hanger in the closet, and even that imaginary, nothing but a hopeful little bit of hallucination. Ah, Carl, while you are not safe, I am not safe. And now you're really in the total animal soup of time. And who, therefore, ran through the icy streets, obsessed with a sudden flash of the alchemy of the use of the ellipse, the catalog, the meter, the vibrating plane, the truth of poetry? Who dreamt and made incarnate gaps in time and space through images juxtaposed, and trapped the archangel of the soul between two visual images, and joined the elemental verbs and set the noun and dash of consciousness together, jumping with sensation of pater omnipotens aeterna deus, to recreate the syntax and measure of poor human prose, and stand before you, speechless and intelligent, and shaking with shame, rejected yet confessing out the soul to conform to the rhythm of thought in his naked and endless head, the madman, bum, and angel beat in time, yet putting down what might be left to say in time, come after death, and rose reincarnate in the ghostly clothes of jazz, in the gold horn shadow of the band, and blew the suffering of America's naked mind for love into an Eli Eli Lama Lama Sabachthani saxophone cry that shivered the cities down to the last radio, with the absolute heart of the poem of life butchered out of their own bodies, good to eat 1,000 years. Part two. What sphinx of cement and aluminum, bashed open their skulls, and ate up their brains and imagination. Moloch, solitude, filth, ugliness, ash cans and unobtainable dollars, children screaming under stairways, boys sobbing in armies, old men weeping in the parks. Moloch, Moloch, nightmare of Moloch, Moloch the loveless, mental Moloch, Moloch the heavy judger of men, Moloch the incomprehensible prison, Moloch the crossbone soulless jailhouse and congress of sorrows, Moloch whose buildings are judgment, Moloch the vast stone of war, Moloch the stunned government, Moloch whose mind is pure machinery, Moloch whose blood is running money, Moloch whose fingers are 10 armies, Moloch whose breast is a cannibal dynamo, Moloch whose ear is a smoking tomb, Moloch whose eyes are 1,000 blind windows, Moloch whose skyscrapers stand in the long streets like endless Jehovah's, Moloch whose factories dream and croak in the fog, Moloch whose smokestacks and antennae crown the cities, Moloch whose love is endless oil and stone, Moloch whose soul is electricity and banks, Moloch whose poverty is the specter of genius, Moloch whose fate is a cloud of sexless hydrogen, Moloch whose name is the mind, Moloch in whom I sit lonely, Moloch in whom I dream angels. Crazy in Moloch, cocksucker in Moloch, lack love and manless in Moloch, Moloch who entered my soul early, Moloch in whom I am a consciousness without a body, Moloch who frightens me out of my natural ecstasy, Moloch whom I abandon, wake up in Moloch, light streams out of the sky, Moloch, Moloch, robot apartments, invisible suburbs, skeleton treasuries, blind capitals, demonic industries, spectral nations, invincible madhouse, granite cocks, monstrous bombs. They broke their backs lifting Moloch to heaven. Pavements, trees, radios, tons, lifting the city to heaven which exists and is everywhere about us. Visions, omens, hallucinations, miracles, ecstasies, gone down the American River. Dreams, adorations, religions, the whole boatload of sensitive bullshit. Breakthroughs over the river, flips and crucifixions gone down the flood, highs, epiphanies, despairs, 10 years animal screams and suicides, minds, new loves, mad generation, down on the rocks of time. Real holy laughter in the river. They saw it all, the wild eyes, the holy yells. They bade farewell. They jumped off the roof to solitude, waving, carrying flowers, down to the river, into the street. Part 3. Carl Solomon, I'm with you in Rockland where you're madder than I am. I'm with you in Rockland where you must feel very strange. I'm with you in Rockland where you imitate the shade of my mother. I'm with you in Rockland where you've murdered your 12 secretaries. I'm with you in Rockland where you laugh at this invisible humor. I'm with you in Rockland where we are great writers on the same dreadful typewriter. I'm with you in Rockland where your condition has become serious and is reported on the radio. I'm with you in Rockland where the faculties of the skull no longer admit the worms of the senses. I'm with you in Rockland where you drink the tea of the breasts of the spinsters of Utica. I'm with you in Rockland where you pun on the bodies of your nurses, the harpies of the Bronx. I'm with you in Rockland where you scream in a straitjacket that you're losing the game of the actual ping pong of the abyss. I'm with you in Rockland where you bang on the catatonic piano, the soul is innocent and immortal, should never die ungodly in an armed madhouse. I'm with you in Rockland, where 50 more shocks will never return your soul to its body again from its pilgrimage to a cross in the void. I'm with you in Rockland, where you accuse your doctors of insanity and plot the Hebrew socialist revolution against the fascist national Golgotha. I'm with you in Rockland, where you'll split the heavens of Long Island and resurrect your living human Jesus from the superhuman tomb. I'm with you in Rockland, where there are 25,000 mad comrades all together singing the final stanzas of the Internationale. I'm with you in Rockland, where we hug and kiss the United States under our bedsheets, the United States that coughs all night and won't let us sleep. I'm with you in Rockland, where we wake up electrified out of the coma by our own souls' airplanes roaring over the roof. They've come to drop angelical bombs. The hospital illuminates itself. Imaginary walls collapse. Oh, skinny legions, run outside. Oh, starry spangled shock of mercy, the eternal war is here. I'm with you in Rockland, in my dreams. You walk, dripping from a sea journey, on the highway across America, in tears, to the door of my cottage in the western night.
In the beginning, oh, long before that, when light was deciding who should be in and who should be out of Spectrum, yellow was in trouble. Even then, seems that green, you know how green can be, didn't want yellow in. Some silly primal envy, I suppose, but for whatever cause, the effect was bad on yellow and caused yellow to weep yellow tears for several eternals before there were years, until blue heard what was up between green and yellow and took green aside for a serious talk, in which blue pointed out that if yellow and blue were to get together, not that they would, but if they did, a gentle threat, they could make their own green. Oh, said green with some understanding. Naturally, by a sudden change of hue, green saw the light and yellow got in. Worked out fine. Yellow got lemons and green got limes.
I opened my eyes a bit wider than usual to take this in. There's a problem here. Before, it was hidden in your skill like a Swiss army knife with small scissors suitable for trimming nose hairs, but rarely opened for fear of discovering yet something else I knew nothing about. Standing this close or spying you between tables at Helena's, I couldn't see it. As your hair fell over your face and covered your right eye like a petticoat on a Mexican dancer, I couldn't see it. Running my hand along your cheek, like finding a stone that lay breathing in a spring-warm stream bed, I couldn't see it. But here, in the cold light of our first morning together, I can see it. You look just like a woman. Last night, first night, you felt just like a woman. Now, putting coffee on this tabletop designed like the interior of a high-rise deco apartment, you move just like a woman. But while I peruse the front page of the Times and let my interest pique itself, you pick up a script. Not wanting to reveal my panic, I say, coffee's good. You are silent. My heart foot steps on the pedal a bit, repressing my instinct to silently finish my coffee and fly away unscathed. I announce that the weather looks good. Nothing from you. Your face is buried in a short manifesto from some advertising agency. I break a sweat and my coffee cup on the edge of the deco chasm that is now between us. Having been burned by the Java, I'm feeling reckless, and I ask, is that a script you're reading? Your skin flashes redder than Timothy Leary's eyes, and you stand and you scream, yeah! burst maniacally, laughing and ripping at your clothes. So then you're, I begin to say, and stop as you say, "Yes, Electress!" You scream as your clothes fly into blood-spattered confetti, and your skin peels and then splashes across the room, spraying the walls like a Jackson Pollock, revealing your true form. 19 feet tall, a red ant's face and neck, the claws of a 10,000-pound lobster, the body of a black widow spider spiked with steel instead of hair, and in your crotch, a stainless Venus flytrap notched with the initials of your victims, most of whom were actors, producers, directors, crew members, and fortunately a few studio executives. Your legs are human, but melted into them are white lace stockings from Fredericks of Hollywood, and on your feet, an attractive pair of red spike heels with an on-sale tag dangling from your left shoe. Your claws are swinging wildly around the kitchen, leaving crescent-shaped cracks all around me. The walls and the ceilings vibrate as a roar begins in your belly and explodes into the air. Have you seen my work? Knowing that I'm fighting for my future as a father, I play it close and I say, "Yeah, of course. I knew it all along, but I figured you got enough of that shit, so I decided to be cool about it." "Thank you!" You bellow with foam squirting out of your mouth as your head haunches forward, brushing your antennas against my cheek. Seeing that you're coming in for the kill, I casually remark, "So you have an audition today?" "Yes, and I must prepare myself." Your trap opening and closing with the rhythm of a cannibal cookout. "Well, let's read your script then," I say. You abruptly halt your assault and say, "Oh, you want to hear me read?" Sweat begins pouring from your face as saliva drips from your mouth like tears at a wedding. You pick up your script, sit down in your chair, and begin chanting, "Moi, moi, 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 moi." You pause, close your eyes, and when you open them, your body that was once splattered around us is drawn back like an implosion band was attached to each particle. You reassemble, smile, pick up your script, and say, "A man has a line. Would you like to read it?" "Sure," I say.
"You're not an actor, are you?"
you say, beginning to turn red again. "No, I'm a migrant poet passing through a few stanzas on my way to a quarto." "Good," you say, relaxing your gaze. "Let's read." I glance at the copy. I have one line. It just might save my life. Before it is the announcer's voice. "Men know you're wearing it. Women sense your scent and resign themselves to your superior skills." Now her part. Cut to a gorgeous, elegant woman. I glance up. She is pouting at me like a flounder against a glass tank window. Horrifying. Then I notice it's my line. Clearing my throat, I say, "There's something about an aquavulva woman." She smiles and says, "And don't you forget it."
"That felt good!"
she bellows, about to revert back to her original self. But before she can, I tip the table, run out the door. After a few steps, I turn back and I see her claws making their way through the back door. But her 19-foot frame is just too much, as the extension at the back of the house collapses around her. She cries out,
"Wait! I can do it differently!"
Her scream is cut short by the falling frame. Later. Down at police headquarters, I'm off the hook after interrogation by two cops and an entomologist. I walk away, hands thrust deeply in my pockets, walking a bit slower than most, thinking, female impersonators, that's what they are. Damn shame we couldn't have found out sooner, could have saved some good men from the castrati contingency. Guess I'll be a little more careful. Spend a few weeks at Two Bunch Palms, look at the desert, drink a few Cokes.
Think of the times, the number of times that you can make rhymes with that friend, Maroon. There's the month of June, Maroon. Tell me soon, tell me soon, tell me soon, tell me soon. No telling the times and number of rhymes that we can make with our friend Maroon. Platoon, cartoon, monsoon, lampoon, spittoon, baboon, octoroon, macaroon, buffoon, afternoon, opportune, pantaloon, immune. Yeah, there's so many rhymes for good old Maroon. I'm sure if you try, you can think of a few that have slipped me by. See what you can rhyme with Maroon. Do it soon, do it soon, do it soon.
That was Ken Nordin. We heard two tracks from his album Colors. maroon and green. Before Michael O'Keefe and the female impersonator. And Allen Ginsberg started off with Howl. You have been listening to Sonic Boom Radio. I am Dr. Boom. Goodbye.